If you knew me well, you would know that I do not like to change clothes. Once I put something on for the day, I wear it until I take it off at night. Now, you may not think that's a big deal, but sometimes when you change chores, you need to change clothes, right? So sometimes, as a younger man, you may come by my house and see me mowing my yard in a suit and tie because I had to wear a suit and tie to a funeral and I needed to mow my yard after the funeral and I just didn't take time to change my clothes, so I would mow my yard in a suit and tie. That's not too bad, but what if you got to paint the living room that day? Yes, I still don't like to change clothes, folks, I'm telling you. Treva gets so mad at me. Matter of fact, I just got a brand new pair of jeans the other day, and somebody had bought them for me with my money. Sarah loves to spend my money, Sarah Witt. So she goes out shopping and she says, "You owe me this, I got you this." So I was wearing these brand new pair of jeans and something needed painting that day. And I thought, you know, I'm a pretty good painter. I think I can keep, just one little drip can ruin a pair of jeans. But there are some times in the day when you may have to change clothes two or three times. There are some times in life when we need to change clothes. We need to take off the dirty rags that we're wearing and let Jesus clothe us in a cloth of righteousness. So you need to see that. You know, too many people see themselves still as this dirty old sinner. Folks, you're not. When you accept Jesus in your heart, the old man dies, the new man comes alive. He's created a new creation. You are now clothed in righteousness, not because you have done something so wonderful, but because Jesus now lives in you. You become righteous, not because you did something, but because He did something. Isn't that wonderful? You know, last week we talked about how God gave some things to the church, the five offices, the apostles, and remember I related it to the hand, the apostle touches every other thing. And I wanted to go back to that just a little bit because I forgot to give you something last week, and it's five words that start with G. And these words will help you. The apostle, the thumb, he governs. He touches every area, every other office. He governs. Some churches like to say, we're non-denominational. And that's okay, but you still need to be governed. Yes. You still have to have a head, right? So we are an Assembly of God church. Many people think we're non-denominational. We partially are. But we still have a head. We are still being governed. There's someone over us, governing us. Rick Clendenin is, a modern-day apostle. And he speaks into the life of Treva and I. And he also speaks into the life of this church. He fills the role of an apostle as well as the offices of the Assemblies of God. And I'm speaking too much on this. The apostle governs. The prophet guides. He can help guide your life because he speaks into your life. The evangelist gathers. The evangelist gives the word. It's a clarion word to come, right? Come, and a lot of people get saved in an evangelistical meeting. He gathers. The pastor who is married to the church, he's the ring finger, he guards. He's the shepherd of the sheep. He guards the sheep. And the teacher, I didn't talk much about this. Treva got onto me. She said, "You didn't talk about the teacher." The teacher grounds. He gives you grounding. See, if your church doesn't have teaching, if it doesn't have doctrine, you're easily gone astray. You got to have the teaching gifts in the church so they can teach you, much like I'm doing right now. Why are these offices here? It's to equip us for ministry, right? He gave us about, I broke him into 10 things, but really 4 things. To equip you for ministry, for the maturing or perfecting of the saints, so that we would reach unity and that Christ's fullness would become in us. That's why Christ gave gifts to the church, these five offices, is for those four things: to equip you, to bring unity, to bring perfection, and to bring Christ's fullness in you. And as we read today, as we go just a little bit further, we realize he's adding one other step. So the first thing was unity, maturity, and today he's adding purity to the list. So we have unity, maturity, but you must have purity. This is the step that churches are leaving out all across our nation. They're leaving out the purity. See, the message of grace has been watered down so much in America that I don't know whether preachers are preaching it or if it's just being heard this way, but it's basically being said, accept Jesus as your Savior and live any way you want to live. You don't have to change. You just accept Jesus as your Savior and you'll go to heaven. And that's hogwash. Why would he die for you to leave you in the pig pen of life? It just doesn't make sense. You see, Christ wants you to change. Now, here, I think in the past, we have preached this with condemnation. Well, you've got to stop doing that. You've got blah, 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 blah. And we've just got condemned, so we changed our message. Well, the Bible hasn't changed. And we don't need to preach it with condemnation, but we need to encourage people to follow Jesus, to listen to his voice, and then he will lead you in a different way. In other words, he will take you, right? Remember we say you don't have to clean your life up when you come to Jesus. You come the way you are. But we don't expect you to stay the way you are. Jesus don't want you to stay there. He'll take you and then he moves you out of that pig pen, out of the dirt and decay that we have got. You know, I'm amazed at how quickly we can get our life in a mess. When I was growing up, people would, excuse my language, but they'd screw their life up usually by the time they're 25. Right? I mean, by the time you're 25, you could just make all kinds of terrible decisions. But today, that's happening around 14. It's amazing how messed up people are getting their life. They're making life decisions at such a young age. And we need to give them a message. It's a message of hope that Jesus doesn't want you to continue this way. So he gave us this word, and he says, I say to you, and I testify, I want you to hear the emphasis. Paul says, one version says, I tell you this, and I insist on it. This is a very emphatic statement. Paul saying, listen to me. Now you gotta get this message. I insist that you hear this. You've got to quit thinking. Quit walking like the Gentiles walk. Who is he talking to in Ephesus? Gentiles. He was talking to them about the way they used to be. And he's saying, I don't want you to walk that way anymore in the futility of your mind. Futility means empty or vain. You see, when we push God out of our minds, we become void and empty. Many of you may not connect the dots to the theory of evolution. But the theory of evolution that we've been pushing in America for many years pushes God out of our minds. It pushes, you're not created in his image. You come from a monkey. And we bought that. Hook, line, and sinker. You know, matter of fact, to the point that this probably makes some of you mad to even talk about this in church. Because you believe it. Well, I don't believe it. has man changed? We change. We don't change who we are, though. See, if I believe that God created me, I have a personal responsibility then to figure that one out. But if I believe this whole thing just bam, and here we got the earth, and now things are evolving through millions of years and we've come up with this species, I have no responsibility for that. Because I'm futile in my thinking. Because God is now removed. Does this make sense to you? God is now removed from my mind. I want to tell you, keep God in your thoughts. You know, you'll live holier if you'll think about Him more. You know, in Proverbs chapter 6, 16 verse 19, he says there's six things that God hates. Yes, seven is an abomination to the Lord. And you know, one of those things says a heart that devises wicked things. A heart that devises wicked things. You know, another way we maybe could say that? A futile thinking mind. It's a mind where God is not present, where his thoughts are not ever upon the Lord. He said, I don't want you to walk like the Gentiles walk. And he begins to explain that. He said, you know, their understanding is darkened. To understand means to grasp or comprehend, to perceive. Their understanding of who they are and their responsibility is dark. Have you ever met someone that just had dark thoughts and you would say it that way? You would say, he's a dark person. What do you mean? You're talking about his mind, not the color of his skin. You're talking about this guy's got some dark thinking. That's exactly what Paul is saying in this scripture. I don't want you to be like that. I don't want your thoughts to be dark. You see, a Christian, all about the Christ, he says, John chapter 8, I am the light of the world. Darkness is not part of us. Light is part of us. He said that you will be the light as I am the light. Proverbs 4:19 says, the way of this wicked is darkness. They do not know what makes them stumble. 2 Corinthians 4:4 said, whose mind the God of this age is blinded, who do not believe, lest the light of the gospel, the glory of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine in them. Their thoughts are dark. How are your thoughts? What are you feeding on? What kind of music do you listen to? You know, a lot of the music that we listen to is dark. If you don't think music has a way into your heart, you're fooling yourself. Let me just say this. Music is spiritual by nature. God created music. Do you realize Satan was the worship leader of heaven? And now he lives on earth. Do you think that he would not attempt to get into music? Have you ever listened to a song and that song was in your mind and in your heart? You just hummed that and whistled that and all day long. Maybe 2 days later, you still got that song just stuck in your mind. Right? You better make sure that song has got life in it and not dark. A lot of the music of the world today is very, very dark. Now, I'm not one of these preachers that says, you ought not listen to country music. I don't know why you would want to, but you know. Y'all not listen to rock and roll. Y'all not listen to this. Can I just say this? Y'all not listen to dark music. If it doesn't glorify Jesus, why do we need to take time for it? Enough said. Acts chapter 26 verse 18. He gave this verse and I actually read this even last week. He says the church is to open their eyes. To open their eyes in order to turn them from darkness to light. From the power of Satan to God. That they may receive forgiveness of sin and an inheritance among those who are sanctified by faith in me. That's the duty of the church, to turn people from darkness to light. Now see, I don't think we ought to tell sinners how terrible they are because they're dark. Because sin is dark. And before you meet Jesus, that's just who you are. Jesus is the light of the world. He brings light. We don't condemn the dark. We just preach to them Jesus so that they will change. Does that make sense? We're not here to condemn people. And he says they are alienated, which means they're estranged, separated, cut off, detached from the life of God. They just don't get it. People that do not know Jesus as their Savior, they just don't get it. They don't understand. Their eyes are blind. They don't understand. They're walking in darkness. They don't understand. Understand that their thoughts are futile, that their thoughts are against God, that their thoughts are negative. They don't get it. John chapter 3, verse 16 through 19. We all know verse 16. It says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. But now listen to verse 17 through 19. For God did not send his world, did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. I think if Jesus didn't condemn the world, I don't think he expects us to. He says, he who believes in him is not condemned, but he who does not believe is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the condemnation, that the light has come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. It's one thing to be dark, but it's another thing to begin to enjoy the darkness. Now, some of you that maybe got saved at a little bit later of an age, you may recognize that in your past. You may recognize the fact that at one point you were dark, you were in sin, and then you begin to enjoy that. You begin to enjoy the darkness, and darkness began to gather around you. The Bible literally says that at one time you walked in darkness, and then there's another verse that says, you were the darkness. See, I think there's a difference there. I think there's a difference in having darkness in you and being the darkness. So that when you go into the room, darkness comes into the room. Because as Christians, when we go into the room, light ought to enter the room. Because we are the light now, right? And then he goes on, he says, they are past feeling. They are past feeling. In other words, they're hardened. Their hearts are hardened. They don't get hurt. Have you noticed, those of you that are my age or older, you remember when girls got embarrassed? If guys would say something off color, the girls would turn pink. And sometimes even the guys would turn pink. Can I say, when's the last time you've seen anybody blush? And some of you young people are thinking, blush? What's that mean? It means turn pink. You see, that's so foreign to us now. Have you thought why? Because we're calloused. As a nation, as a people, our hearts have become calloused towards God. Now let me put this in a different way. Have you met people that have become callous towards their spouse? They fought so much, and there's so much hardness in their hearts towards each other. The person that they chose to love for the rest of their life, that they stood in front of God and people and committed their heart to each other, they could care less whether they drop dead at this point in their life. What's that all about? How can you go from choosing someone to marry and loving that person and think that's the most special person in the world to a few years later saying, I could care less whether they drop dead and go to hell? I had one aunt said, if I go to hell, I hope to stoke his fire. That, my friend, is called hatred. That's called a calloused heart. See, we can get calloused towards each other. And that's one thing. But what about getting calloused towards God? What does it take for the Holy Spirit to move you? You know, sometimes when I talk in the service and I'll say, "Ooh, the Holy Ghost is moving." I can look on your faces and some of you are thinking, "Well, he ain't moving back here." Pastor, I don't feel what you're feeling. Why is that? When I was a little boy, I used to go to church, and I've told you this before. My mother, who had lived a pretty hard life, had a lot of disappointments. We'd come to church, and it didn't matter. I could think, this is the driest church service I've ever been in my life. And I'd look over at my mom, and she'd have her hands up, and tears would be dropping off her cheeks. And I'd think, what church is she in? Why is she feeling something, and I am like, I wish I was at a ball game. What does it take for you to be moved by the Holy Spirit? Can you just feel His brush? Now, some of you, that sounds stupid. That just sounds like a ridiculous statement. But I'm going to tell you, you get close enough to God, you will feel the brush of the Holy Ghost. What do you mean, Pastor? I mean when the Holy Spirit just passes by and does that. You will feel that. Say, Pastor, you're not making sense today. I know I'm not to you. You know why? Because you're calloused. And say, Pastor, are you condemning me? No, I'm trying to tell you, let's break it up. Let's change. The Bible talks about the Word of God breaking, right? The Word of God will break things. You know what He wants to break? He wants to break a heart of stone. Give you a tender heart. What hardens you? We talked a little bit about this in Sunday school. About the fact, did Judas have a choice? Did Pharaoh, you know, the Bible says that God hardened Pharaoh's heart. Well, nothing about that seems fair. Until maybe you turn this thing around. And I could say, God has hardened Courtney's heart. Well, how can you say that? Because I can say, every time Courtney comes into the house of God, and the Spirit of God is moving, and Courtney says, I don't have time for you today. I want you to know, we could say, God has hardened his heart. Because he did not respond to the moving of the Holy Ghost. You ever said no to God? Sure you have. Let me shake your head for you. Yeah, you have. You have. I promise you, you have. You know, sometimes the Holy Spirit will come to you and he'll say, throw $100 in that offering plate. And you say, get thee behind me, Satan. Yeah, you just said no to the Holy Ghost. Yeah, I don't find the devil ever tells me to give somebody $100, much less the church. Well, that's good preaching. I'm telling you, woo-hoo-hoo, somebody ought to shout on that. You ever heard the Spirit of the Lord or felt that little tug in your heart that says, hey, tell them about me. Just tell them that I love them. Would you just say, hey, I know you're going through a difficult time. The Lord sees you. He wanted me to tell you, he's walking with you. And you say, they'll think I'm crazy. What if I miss it? No, I'm not doing that. You ever got on an elevator with somebody? And you got a couple of options. You can talk about the weather. Or you can say, this is a day that we need to rejoice in the Lord, isn't it? Yeah, we don't do that, do we? What most of us do, we just look at the wall. My son's an engineer, my middle son. And engineers they're so different. You know, they're, excuse me if you're an engineer in this place, but they're not really extroverted people by and large. And he says, my son told me, he said, you can tell an outgoing extroverted engineer if he looks at your shoes when he's talking to you instead of your shoe, instead of his own shoes. So that's the way some of us are when we talk about Christ. Can I tell you about how much Jesus loves you? I want to tell you, you've said no to the Holy Ghost. You may be saying no right now. And we have this thought that it doesn't matter. Every time you tell the Holy Ghost no, something happens to your heart. It just gets a little bit more calloused, a little bit harder, so that the next time he's got to push a little harder. I think one of the prayers that we should pray is, God, keep me tender. Keep me tender. I was talking to a brother in the Lord this week, and as we talked, this guy was Rick Clendenin. He cries more than I cry. I mean, he's the biggest baby in the world, and I'm very much like him. But this particular day as we talked, I've never seen this happen before. His eyes, just tears begin to drip off his cheeks, and the table began to get wet as he was talking about reaching the lost. And I wonder, when's the last time you wept over the lost? Do you think it's possible that we have got calloused towards the lost of this world? Now, if it's your son, if it's your daughter, you're probably not calloused. You see, I think you ought to think the same about somebody else's son and daughter as you do your own. That ought to grieve your heart. I didn't want to talk a whole lot about this. But he says, then they'll be given over to lasciviousness or sensual living. See, what I want you to see is there is a progression to this. Does this make sense to you? So at first he says, their thoughts, their mind is futile. Their thoughts are futile. Their understanding is darkened. They're alienated. They're calloused. And then eventually, their lifestyle becomes very sensual. Do you see the progression? You see, you may be on that progression. You may be way up high where you're just not thinking about the Lord very much. But I want to tell you that if you continue in that lifestyle, this will happen to you. What does it mean, sensual? Are we always talking sexual? No. It just means it's all about me. It's all about my appetites. What can I do to help me? In James chapter 1, he describes to us sin. He says, each one is tempted when he's drawn away by his own desire. Each one is tempted when he's drawn away by his own desire. You know, the church, I find that they get really excited when I talk about murder or stealing or adultery, because those aren't our sins. And the church can say, whoo, 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 go, pastor, you preach it, preach it, preach it. But when you start talking about the sins of the church, you get quiet. If we start talking about gossip, are meddling into other people's business? Did I feel the Spirit of God right there? He says, we're drawn away by our own desire and enticed. Then when desire has conceived, you know about conception, it gives birth to sin. And sin, when it's full grown, brings forth death. You know it takes 9 months from conception to birth? And then that baby grows up. Do you know people don't just jump in bed with another woman on the first look? They start flirting. They start talking. They start being nice. Telling them a little bit about their life. You see, sin doesn't just happen. you know what you're getting into. You're tempted to do this. You're tempted to say that. You're tempted to take something that's not yours. Been tempted to gossip lately? I have. I have to remind myself all the time, don't do that. Don't, preachers don't gossip. It's just not right. I know too much about you. That's a joke, but it's a funny joke. He goes on, he said, you have not learned Christ. Now, when I first read this, I thought he said, you have not learned this about Christ. He didn't say you've not learned this from Christ. In other words, this is not the way of Christ. You didn't learn this from Jesus. Listen to me really close. He gives you five steps of the sinful life. Five things. He says, your mind is this way. You're darkened, this, and then callous, and then you give over to lasciviousness. There's five things on this spectrum that leads you to what we would call a pervert or someone deep in sin. And he says, you've not learned Christ. He didn't say you didn't learn this from Christ. He said, you didn't learn Christ. In other words, this is not the message of Christ. No, he's not saying that. He said, you do not know Jesus. If this is your lifestyle, you have not learned Christ. You see, I find that we are living in an age where the church looks a whole lot like the world. We talk like the world. We think like the world. There's not a hair's worth of difference most of the time. We have not learned Christ because He is not that way. I think it's time that we get back to saying we need to follow Jesus. He says, put off the old conduct. Put it off. Stop doing the things you used to do. Folks, stop telling the jokes you used to tell. Stop the dirtiness. Do you realize that puts responsibility on me? I've got to stop doing things. Romans 6 verse 11, he says, likewise, you also reckon yourself to be dead indeed to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus our Lord. Therefore, do not let sin reign in your mortal body, that you should obey it in its lust. And do not present your members as instruments of unrighteousness to sin, but present yourself to God as being alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness. You've accepted Jesus as your heart and your Savior in your heart. Stop doing some of the things you used to do. If you were an alcoholic, stop it. They laughed Nancy Reagan to scorn when she said stop it on the drugs, right? You remember that? No, some of you said, I wasn't born until the 80s. Just say no. That's exactly what she said. Just say, do you realize you have a choice? You have a choice on your sinfulness. The devil made me do it is not going to fly on judgment day. You've got a choice. I think we need to start choosing to stay away from sin. Alcoholics, former alcoholics, you don't need to hang out at the bar. Every one of us need to be accountable on what we put before our eyes. Where is your computer at? Is it where people can see what you're watching? It needs to be. Oh, Pastor, here you go again. You know, 70% of our nation is viewing pornography regularly? 70%. It's epidemic. What is it? It's sin. It's sin. He says, put that off. What I love about Scripture, He doesn't leave us naked. He says, take this off, but put this on. Be renewed in the spirit of your mind, He says. Be renewed in the spirit of your mind. Romans 8, verse 5 and 6, for those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh, but those who live according to the Spirit, the mind, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. In 1 Corinthians 2:12, he says, now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, that we might know the things that have been freely given to us by God. Be renewed in the spirit of your mind. It matters what you think about. You have got to control your thought life. Some of you wonder, why is it that I'm so defeated as a Christian? Is it because God doesn't like me as much as He likes somebody else? That's nonsense. God loves us all. He doesn't have favorites. I would say, I would dare say, it probably has everything to do with what you think about. And only you can answer that. What do you think about? Philippians 4 said, think on these things. In other words, He's telling us, you can't just let your mind run crazy. Have you ever had a little problem and you just couldn't dismiss it? And all of a sudden at the end of the day, that little thing that just nagged you at the beginning of the day seems huge? Why? Because you've thought about it all day long. You thought, what did my husband mean by that? Was my husband saying I'm fat? Because those are fighting words, I'm telling you. In any house in America, those are fighting words. You be careful, old man of God. Be renewed in the spirit of your mind. Think on good things. Think on holy things. Let me say this. Think on positive things. You know, I'm 57 years old now, and I try to be really cautious about saying I'm old. I'm older, but I don't think I'm old. Dave Allen is 80. He ain't old. Where are you at, Dave? There he is. He is not old. He's not. Why? Because his thoughts are not old. I don't think he sees himself as an old person. When people meet him, they're like, wow, this guy's amazing. And that's across the board, Dave. I'm telling you, it's across the board. People think you're amazing. I tell them, wait till you really get to know him. But that's... I think it has everything to do with what he thinks about. Who do you see when you look in the mirror, guys? Do you see someone defeated? Or do you see someone that is so special that God put Himself in you? See, if I was God, I wouldn't put myself in junk. And I don't think there are junky Christians. Does that make sense to you? The third thing He says, you got to put on the new man. You got to take off the old man. You got to start changing the way you think. But then you got to put on the new man, which is created in righteousness. You know, I find that most Christians cannot call themselves righteous. They have the hardest time saying, yes, I am righteous. Oh, geez, God, don't strike me down for saying that. He won't, because He said it first. You are righteous in His eyes. Because when He looks at you, He sees His Son. Not all the bad you've done. Did I just rhyme? Somebody turn that into a song. He sees the sun, not all the bad you've done. Okay, let's move on. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he's a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. I want to bring a thought to you. He starts off and he's talking about Gentiles. The Bible says there's neither Gentile or Jew. Right? He says here, 2 Corinthians 5:17, we think about this as salvation. Christ created a new man in me. If anyone is in Christ, he's created a new creation. There is no Jew. There is no Gentile when you get saved. He's created a new nation. A new creation. We are the church. We're one. If your mind can comprehend this, this will blow your mind. That's why the church has unity. Because we're not Gentiles. We're not Jews. He created a new nation. A new people. According to Peter, he says the same thing. You're a new creation. A new people. Right? We're a new creation in Christ. The church. I wish that we could understand how precious the church is in the eyes of God. He loves the church. We are the new creation that God created. Colossians chapter 3, verse 12 and 13, he says, put on therefore. Again, another put on verse. He goes on, he says, put on mercy and kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long suffering, forbearing, and forgiving one another. Guys, there's some things we need to take off, but there's some things we need to put on. I think for many, many years, the church constantly talked about putting off. Stop doing this. Stop doing that. We called it clothesline preaching. Can't do that. You can't do that. When I grew up, you couldn't do anything but eat. Right? And the whole church was fat because that's the only thing that wasn't sinful. But we didn't preach the put on. We preached the put off. But I want to tell you, we need to put the stuff off. But you got to start putting some stuff on too. Don't leave your house naked. Put on the armor of God. Put on love. Put on forgiving. Put on forbearance, patience. We don't even like to talk about patience. I get mad when you talk about patience, Pastor. You need to control your thought life. That's just where it's at. Sin is progressive. You get it? Does everybody understand that? Yes. Sin is progressive. If you do those five things, you will eventually wind up to be a very sensual person doing things that you would have never thought. Let me just say this. Listen real closely. Righteousness is also progressive. You start here and you're righteous because of Jesus. But as you begin to change your thought life, as you begin to put on things, righteousness begins to get progressed in your life. We actually grow from glory to glory, is what Scripture says. One of these days, we will be seen like Jesus. Now that may be in heaven. But I sort of believe that maybe that could be on earth. Have you ever met anybody that you just wanted to be good in front of them? Because they were good? You ever felt like, you know, every time I'm with this person, I just feel like I've been in a revival. That's somebody that has walked with Jesus for a while. And that righteousness has progressed. And I had convinced myself that I was going to preach a very short sermon today. And here we've done it again. Would you stand with me? if I could get you to think linear for just a moment, if you can just think about life as a line, and I want you to think, am I progressing as a sinner? Those things that we talked about, those five things at the beginning, my mind being futile, my thoughts being dark, alienated from God. Am I still on that line? Am I progressing down that line? Or have I switched lines? Does this make sense? I hope it does. Can you see yourself as progressing spiritually? As growing in the Lord? As becoming more righteous? As my mind thinking and my has changed? I'm not the same person I used to be. I'm not a great person, but I'm not who I used to be. Let's go from glory to glory. I believe Jesus wants to do a work in every one of our life. But I want you to know this. It takes your cooperation. Please hear me. Please hear what I'm saying. For too long, the church has said, okay, if God wants me righteous, make me righteous. Sort of like the guy saying, if God wants my tithes, here they are, just come and get them. No, he ain't going to do that. You're going to have to get in that wallet and give them yourself. I got news for you. God does want you righteous. And you need to do something about it. You hear me? I don't care whether you've been saved 6 months or 50 years. If you're drawing breath today, He is not finished with you. So He is not finished creating the righteousness of God in you. You've not learned Christ if you're acting like the world. If you're thinking like the world, talking like the world, doing like the world, you're not. Geez, I hate to say this. You've not learned Christ. You just don't know who He is. I think there's so many people that sit in church week after week that one day they're going to be in the presence of God. And He's going to look at them and He's going to say, I never knew you. That scares me as a preacher. But it's the Word of God. How can we do that? By fooling ourselves. Guys, this is an important message. You have a responsibility in the righteousness walk. Are you allowing the Spirit of God to change the way you talk? To change the way you think? To change who you are? I hope so. Don't become callous. And maybe that's the thing you should pray today. God, I think you just need to break up this stony heart. You know, backslidden Pentecost are the hardest people to reach. Hear me. You know why? Because you have experienced the moving of the Holy Ghost. Do you know how many people in the church today have never experienced what you experience every Sunday? The fact that the Spirit of God moves and speaks in our services. Most Christians don't experience that in America. But because you do, it's easy for you to get calloused. When's the last time you got in the presence of the Lord and cried? When's the last time your heart was moved by God? Maybe crying is not the right emotion for you. But I find that when the Spirit of God moves on someone's heart, there's always an emotion that follows. For me, it's crying. For others, it may not be. Can I pray for you today? Would you bow your heads? It's possible that there's someone here today that has never accepted Jesus as your Savior. And I hope that you hear hope in this sermon and not condemnation. I don't ever want to condemn people. But Jesus wants us to change. He loves us so much. He wants to change us to become like Him. I just think that it's time the church quits making up their own God and we start following the God of the Bible. Maybe that doesn't mean anything to you. If you're here today and you say, you know what, I need to accept Christ as my Savior, would you just raise your hand? I won't embarrass you in any way, but I just want to lead you in prayer from your seat. Pastor, pray for me. I need to accept Christ. I'm moving on. I'm not going to give another altar call at that, beyond that, because every one of us, I believe the Spirit of the Lord has touched our hearts and moved in our hearts. And I'm believing that there's something you need to deal with. Brother Denny, if you would come on up to end it with a blessing, may I pray for you? Jesus, I have delivered everything that you have placed on my heart this week. And God, I believe that the Spirit of the Lord has taken my words and the word of the Bible. And I pray that He's brought life out of those words into each heart. I pray the light has come to each one of our minds and our hearts today. And I pray the Holy Spirit has just showed us the real me, so that we can deal with anything that's ungodly, anything that's wicked in me. God, I believe that most Christians want to please you. Most of us love you and want to be pleasing in your sight. But it's real easy to hide our sin. It's real easy to think, well, I just won't think about those things. And God, I believe that a master surgeon will go deep into our lives, into our bodies, and they'll pull out the infection that's very deep in our heart, very deep in our bones, so that real healing can occur. God, I believe that today you want to go deep into people's hearts and lives and relieve that infection, pull out that infection, so that real healing can occur. Holy Spirit, I'm praying right now that you do a sincere work in each heart, that people here today that are calloused would be broken in the presence of God, so that one time again they'll feel the moving of the Spirit of God. I pray that we would weep over the lost. I pray that we would renew our minds in you, and we would control our thought life, and that we would see righteousness grow in our hearts. God, I love you. I thank you, Lord, for the truth of the Word of God that exposes us so that we can become right. Help us, Lord, not to cover our sin, but to deal with it. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.